Hello and welcome from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. This podcast you're about to hear was recorded at our Booragoon campus. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what God has to say to you.
Welcome to everyone. I'm a visitor, actually, so you should be welcoming me. Anyway, it's good to be here. My name is Michael. For those of you who don't know me, I am campus pastor at Honeywood. And it's great to be here this morning, and thank you for joining us in person and also online as well. It's great to have you. And children, it's great to have you in the service. If you would like, there's some activity sheets. I know some of you beat me to it and grabbed it already, but if you want to make your way down, there's some activity sheets and colored pencils, and see if you can follow through on the activity sheet what I'm going to be speaking. So if you want to do that, that'll be great. For those of us who feel we're young at heart, you're more than welcome to come and grab a sheet as well and follow through. All right, today we're going to continue with our series on a prayerful life with the sermon titled A Gentle Whisper. A Gentle Whisper. You know, prayer is a gift from God. Prayer is a gift from God, that our God would welcome, the creator of the universe would welcome us and invites us into a conversation with him. No matter what season of life we're going through or how along the way we are on our faith journey, he invites us to have a conversation with him. It's an absolute privilege to be able to come before him and commune with God. No other religion, no other faith, no other belief systems, right? A God who talks back to us, who speaks to us. It's only our God, Yahweh. He's the only one who speaks to us, and he invites us into that place. What a privilege. What an honor. You know, there are many ways in which we can pray, but today we're going to see how our prayer can take us into a deeper relationship with God as we hear his gentle whispers. So let's start with this question. How often do you pray? How often do you pray? Now, I'm not trying to guilt trip you, right? Not my intention, or make you feel bad about it. But it's a question that we genuinely and honestly must consider, how often we actually pray. We come into the presence of our Heavenly Father and talk with him. It's a gift, and we need to exercise that more and more. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 18 says that we are to be always joyful. Always joyful, to pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for that's God's will for us. That's his will for us, that we're joyful, that we never cease praying, right? Never cease praying and give thanks to him in all circumstances. Well, I don't know about you, but when people have asked me, Michael, how often do you pray? Just a little inner voice that says, not as often as I should, right? That's been my response. Not as often as I should. There's a bit of a guilt there. So today I want to encourage us to move from where we are at, whether it be 24/7 prayer. That's fantastic if you're in that space. If you're like me, not as often as I should. I want to encourage us all to go from that place to a place where continually conversing with God, that he would take us deeper into a more intimate relationship with God. So as we come to our Bible reading, let's set the scene. We're going to be reading from a book from the Old Testament, a book of 1 Kings. So if you have your Bibles with you, please open them to 1 Kings, and we're going to begin the narrative from chapter 18.
This is where Elijah the prophet is used by God to crush the idol worship of Baal on Mount Carmel. Elijah is excited that the idol worship is overturned, that the people will repent, and the people of Israel would come back to God. However, that is not the case. King Ahab goes to his wife Jezebel and tells all that has taken place. This is what happened on Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal have been slain. And she is absolutely furious and wants to take Elijah's life. So Elijah, confused, absolutely confused, and fearing for his life, he flees and he runs. And we pick up the narrative in chapter 19, verse 8. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to the death with the sword, and I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Then Elijah heard it. He pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty." The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your people to death with the sword. I am the only one left. And now they are trying to kill me too. This is God's word for us today. So here we have the great prophet Elijah, after experiencing the power and awe of God on Mount Carmel. He runs in fear for his life. He runs confused and in absolute despair and ends up at Mount Horeb, or more commonly known as Mount Sinai, the mountain of God, the mountain where Moses encountered God, where Moses asked to see his glory. Elijah runs and runs to God. So here's the first point. When we're seeking to hear the gentle whisper of God, to go into a deeper relationship with him, we need to seek God. Amen. We need to run to God. We need to be intentional in seeking God. We need to be actively seeking God in our everyday. Now, verse 8, 9, he traveled for 40 days, 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave. There was intentionality by Elijah. Here in the NIV it says a cave, but some of the commenters say that it may have been the exact same location where Moses hid before God, the cleft of the rock. Elijah runs to exactly the same place to see the glory of God once again. Elijah runs seeking God. If we seek to go deeper with God in our relationship with him, to hear his gentle whisper, we need to seek God. Amen. Let me change gears a bit. Over the years, these words, pray continually, pray without ceasing, really been on my heart. I felt that I wasn't living in line with what the scripture was saying. How can I live without? How can I live with praying continually 24/7? Is it even possible? But recently I had a shift in thinking, and it has helped me, and I hope that it will resonate with you. Romans 11:36 says, "For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever." Amen.
Amen.
Everything, all things, everything is from him and for him. And if we truly believe this, then I believe the time that we have, that God has gifted us with, it's his. I lived with the understanding and with knowing that the 24 hours in the day that I have is mine. But actually, a slight change in our thinking, transforming of our mind, says actually the 24 hours is God's. And he has gifted me with 24 hours. He has granted me time to rest. He has granted me time for work, time for recreation, time for family, time for prayer, time for ministry, and so on. Every moment of the day, I begin to acknowledge that it's his time, not mine, which he has granted me. And that's been helpful. So let me give you an example. I thank God for work. Thank God for the opportunity. You know, there are many in the world who'd love to work. But whatever situation or circumstance that they're going through, it might be a war-torn country, they can't possibly work. I am grateful for that. God has given me time for work. So as I come into the workplace, I pray that I would give the working hours to God, that it is his, that in all that I do, may it be for his glory. And I ask him to use me in word and in deed throughout the day for his glory. And if a challenge comes across my desk, I would pray, Lord, how would you want me to deal with this? How do I respond? Then I will proceed to do all that God has given to me as if I was doing it for God himself. For me, then, my work, the 8, maybe more, maybe less, the day that I'll be in the office is a prayer to God. My life itself is a prayer. You might be saying, then how do you pray when you go to sleep? Well, sleep is a gift from God. It's a time for rest. It's time for renewal. Lord, thank you for sleep. I'm going to rest in your grace now. I'm going to be in your presence. I pray that you will renew me, that you will restore me. If I have some illnesses, that you'll heal me. Pray, give it to God. Lord, if you want to speak to me through dreams and visions, I don't get visions or dreams. I can't even remember what I dreamt last night. If it is your will, so be it. Help me have the sweetest of sleep that you can grant me. I am going to rest in your grace now. I truly believe that's a prayer. Can we pray 24/7? I think so. A renewal of the mind helps us to be in conversation with God as we seek him. Seek him throughout the day. Seek him even in the evening. Seek him as even we sleep. That is the first point. If we want to hear his gentle whisper, if we want to go into a deeper relationship with him, we need to seek him. Seek him. Second, as we seek him, we come into his presence, right? 1 Kings 19:13 says, when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Why did Elijah cover himself? You know, when we come before God, the holiness, the greatness of God is revealed to us, and we realize our sinfulness, our brokenness, and we want to hide. But the wonderful news is that God never leaves us in that hidden place. He never leaves us hidden. He brings us into his redemptive light, and he works in us. It was saying for Moses, Isaiah, Peter, and the centurion at Jesus' crucifixion. God meets them where they're at, and in grace, God works in their hearts. You know, Moses, in the presence of God, he hid his face. Go home and read those passages. He hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. But in grace, through his word, Moses is commissioned for his work. Isaiah, in the presence of God, what does he say? He says, woe to me, I am ruined. In the presence of God, woe to me, I am ruined. But in grace, through his word, Isaiah is cleansed. Peter, in the presence of God, what does he say? Depart from me, Lord. Depart from me. I am a sinful man. But in grace, through his word, Peter is called to be the fisher of men. God never leaves us alone. In that hidden place, he brings us out. And when we step into that light, when we step into the presence of God, he works in us. I truly believe even the centurion, in the presence of God, when God breathed, Jesus breathed his last, what did he do? He acknowledged, surely this man was the Son of God. We don't know what the outworking is, but I truly believe God is worked on him. And I hope to see him when we go to heaven. I truly believe I hope to see him when he's there, because God wouldn't have left him alone. Wouldn't have left him alone. So how does God work on Elijah? The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Does he? No, he doesn't. He doesn't go out. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. He steps out. Throughout Scripture, God has revealed himself as wind, as an earthquake, as fire. But what Elijah needed was a word from the Lord, was a word from God. And in his presence, God takes Elijah into a deeper understanding of who God is. And in his presence, God teaches Elijah who God is by transforming his heart. And that's the same for us as well. As we seek God and come into his presence, as we converse with him, he transforms our heart to take us into a deeper relationship with him. Through his gentle whisper, through his word, he transforms us, which leads us to the third point. God transforms our heart. How does he do this? God transforms our heart through the gospel of Jesus. He transforms our heart through the gospel. The gentle whisper is the gospel. A way Tim Keller describes the gospel is the realization that we are more sinful than we ever dared believe. But we are more loved and accepted in Christ Jesus than we ever dare to hope. Let me read that again. We are more sinful than we ever dared believe, but we are more loved and accepted in Christ Jesus than we ever dare to hope. We said that when we come into the presence of God, we realize our sinfulness, more sinful than we ever dare to believe. Like Elijah and many before and many after him, however, they all hear the gentle whisper. God has spoken to his people in different ways in Scripture. He continues to speak to us through his word. He speaks to us in the way that we will be able to hear. Everyone differently, never the same. And on occasions, never the same way. Different ways. And it is in his word we come to realize that we are more loved and accepted in Christ than we could ever dare to hope. And it is in and through his word we hear the gentle whisper of God, transforming our hearts. You know, the wind, the earthquake, the fire, what did it do? It came and tore through the rock. It shattered the rock, all representing judgment. Remember Moses up on top of Mount Sinai. 40 days, he was up there, 40 nights. God told the Israelites, do not even come close to the mountain. Do not touch the mountain. Judgment. But in the cleft of the rock, Elijah is protected. He is saved. Know that Jesus is that rock. Jesus is that rock, and he speaks to us today through his gentle whispers of that gospel. He's the one who's taken the blows of sin. He's the one who has taken the judgment. He's the one who was shaken for us on the cross, that we could stand firm on the mountain of God and say, hallelujah. God would never leave us in the place where we know of our sin, of our brokenness. He brings us, embraces with his love, and he lifts us. The scripture from Genesis to Revelation speak to us of the unfathomable love of God. The gentle whisper, the word of God speaks to us even today to transform our hearts. The word of God actually touches Elijah's heart. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Verse 13, what are you doing here, Elijah? There's a transformation of Elijah's heart from the first discourse in verse 9 and the second discourse in verse 13. In the first, Elijah is a man who is confused and in despair. However, after being in the presence of God through his word, the gospel, his heart is softened and he pours his heart out to God. Like Hannah who poured her heart out. She says, I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Likewise, I truly believe the second discord of Elijah, he's pouring his heart out to God. He is a broken man. But he knows where his strength and hope is. Church, the gospel transforms our hearts. We are invited to seek, to come into his presence, to come before God. And as we gaze upon him in his word, he will take us deeper. He will help us to realize, to know how much we are loved. He will give us the strength. He will help us
to hear the gentle whispers of God, and it is all here. It is all here. So to conclude, church, what is prayer? What is prayer? Prayer is to be in His presence. To be in His presence. And in His presence, prayer is to know who God is and to be known by who, and to know who we are. And in our conversation with Him, we realize our sinfulness, but we also know the grace of God. We come to the realization of the great, great grace of God. Prayer is a gift for us that as we pray, He takes us into a deeper relationship with Him, that our hearts will be one with His. So, church, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today to begin by giving our days, your days, to God. Your time to God. As we seek Him, let's be in His presence and allow Him to work in our hearts. And this all begins as we gaze upon the face of God in Scripture. I want to encourage you, be in the Word. Spend time with God in the Word. We cannot grow into maturity if we are not reading, if we're not seeking God in the Word and praying the Word with God. So I want to invite the worship team up, and we're going to spend some time, and we're just going to give our hearts to God. If you want to be in silence, by all means, you don't have to speak. As you come into the presence of God, you can just give that time to Him. If God has touched your hearts, won't you give that to Him? Going through things, give that to Him. Let's close your eyes. Let's close our eyes and let's seek Him. Heavenly Father, we just want to invite You to come afresh in our lives, to help us to live in the truth that our days are Yours. It's Yours, Lord. No matter what we are going through, what we are facing this day, You stand with us. We're never alone. And it is Your desire, it is Your heart for us to be in Your presence, seeking You, to pursue You, and to receive all that You have for us. Renew our mind, Lord. Transform our thinking, that in Your presence, the truth of Your word, the gentle whisper, will transform us. Grant us the courage, the strength, the wisdom to know and how to come before You, to be in Your presence, to seek You, and to receive. Open our eyes to see the things that You have for us, the things that You want to show us. Open our ears to hear Your gentle whispers. But mostly, Lord Jesus, open our heart
that we may receive all these things and to truly understand in our hearts. Then in all our days that we will continue to turn to you and fix our eyes on you. Grant us all these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast brought to you from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Our prayer is that what was said today inspires you and strengthens you in your faith. If you would like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, you can contact the team during office hours on the number you can find on our website at mounties.org.au. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to having your company again soon. God bless.